This is my Bible. This is the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this word. I believe God has given us this book. So I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And when you get there, say amen. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Amen. Can't find 2 Corinthians. There it is right there. Trying to hide from me. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Are you there? I want to start with verse number 1. The Bible says, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly. In other words, the Apostle Paul is saying, I wish you would put up with my foolishness. Okay, this is what he's saying here. He says, bear in my folly, and indeed bear me. Oh, in other words, yes, put up with me is what he's saying. And then he says, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have exposed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. He said, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety or craftiness or cunningness, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. In other words, he said, you might just follow him. Amen? So when we read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the series of verses we just read, what we see immediately is the Apostle Paul's concern for the Christian converts at Corinth, okay? Because he had already taught them about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and they had embraced it. In other words, they had already accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But since that time, since the time that they accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Satan has dispatched some of his agents, to include himself, okay? He has dispatched some of his agents in the form of false apostles, okay, in the form of false apostles to try to affect the mental state of the Christian converts to get them to turn away from their devotion to Jesus. Are y'all still with me? Satan had dispatched his agents. How many know Satan have agents, okay, and people? Okay. He has dispatched his agents to go to them to try to spread some false doctrine to them, you know, to cause it to affect them mentally, okay, and to cause them to lose their devotion to God. And the Apostle Paul was very concerned about that. He was concerned, number one, that they would follow the false doctrine. And not only was he concerned that they would follow the false doctrine, he was concerned that if they followed the false doctrine, they would start to doubt the gospel. They would start to doubt God. They would start to doubt Jesus. They would start to doubt the Holy Spirit. And then they would start to doubt themselves. And as a result of the doubt, they would end up in a dark place in their life. Are y'all still with me? Because that's exactly what Satan always tries to do. He's always trying to pull us back as God continues to move us forward. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. And the Apostle Paul was very concerned about them, you know. He started off, you know, jokingly, but he got serious. He said, listen, you know, I want you to be very careful because Satan have these agents and his mode of operation is to put you back by attacking you in your mind, to put you in a dark place in your life, to stop you from enjoying the Christian life that you received by accepting Jesus as Savior. Y'all still with me? Amen. And how many of you know, even today, Satan's tactics have not changed? The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many of you know that Satan is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Are y'all still with me? He is still dispatching his agents in the form of people. He is still dispatching his agents to try to distract Christians from enjoying this Christian life that we achieved by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And he wants us to not enjoy this life, but find ourselves in a dark place, in bondage. Nothing has changed. Everything is still the same. Are you all still with me? Amen. And see, what these agents will do, okay, they will use their intellect or their intelligent mindset, okay? They will use their intelligent mindset because listen to this. Satan is not going to send a rookie to you. He's going to send somebody with a little status, someone who knows something based on book knowledge. And what they will do is that they will use that intellect against the weak Christians who do not spend time growing spiritually in the Word of God to try to throw them off track. See, Satan, he might be dumb, but he's not stupid. Are y'all still with me? Amen. And what they will do, they will use that intellect to spread seeds, negative seeds, in your ears to cause those seeds to affect your mind. That's what he would do. By words. Because how many know what you hear is going somewhere? And a lot of people are affected in this world based on what they hear. Are y'all still with me? See, when you look at this series of scriptures that I just read, look at, once again, how Satan attacks us. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, after the Apostle Paul showed his concern for them, he said, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his cunningness, or subtlety, that your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. In other words, he wants to corrupt your mind to cause you to turn away from God. Y'all still with me? And it's amazing to me that the Apostle Paul used Eve. Because see, you know, I've said personally, this is Romans chapter 8, verse 88. You do not have to believe this. This is what I believe. This is not what the Word says, but this is what I believe, okay? I don't believe, like, this is not the Word, okay? This is what I believe. Don't mean I'm Pastor Ron said, no, this is what I believe. You don't have to believe what I believe. But I do not believe that Satan appeared to Adam and Eve in human form or serpent form. I know he's a serpent. This is what I believe. I believe that he attacked Eve in her mind. That's what I believe. Now, you don't have to believe that. And I tell you why I believe that. The reason why I believe that is because I believe that Satan, I said it already, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe he attacked her the same way he attacked us today. Now, another reason why I believe that is this. The Bible says that when she gave the fruit to Adam, Adam was right there with her. So listen, you let somebody try to give my wife something that God says she can't have, and I'm just going to stand there and say, okay, give it to me too. No, I'm going to say, you need to get out of here. Now that's just what I believe. I'm not saying telling you believe, I'm telling you that's what I believe. You know, I believe he attacked her in the mind. And listen, I believe prior to that time, that Adam and Eve was having a good time in the garden. I believe they was having fellowship with God. Adam said, oh, I'm going to name that the pig. I think I'll name that the dog. I'm going to name that. I think he was naming things. They was running through the garden. It was naked. They didn't even know it. Why? Because they were spiritually focused on God. Things were going great. And all of a sudden, here comes Satan. Because he saw them enjoying, I'm going to say it this way. He saw them enjoying the life that they had received. I'm going to say it this way. The Christian life that they had received by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And he could not stand it. So what he said is, okay, I got something for them. He did not dispatch any agents. He did it himself. And he came there to try to, with his cunning, slick way, to try to get them to turn away from God. And how many of you know he succeeded? See, Satan sees you when you're happy. He sees you when you're having, when you're enjoying yourself. He sees you when your husband and wife, you're having a great time. He sees all of that. He don't like that. And guess what? Eventually he's going to come, or he's going to send someone else to cause havoc in your life by spreading negative seeds in your ear. And what happens is that when those seeds get into your ears, Christians start to think about them and think about them and think about them and think about them, and they think about them so much until that spiritual seed that was planted in their ears starts to affect their mind. And now all of a sudden, their mind used to be on Jesus. Now they're focused on the situation and the circumstances, and they end up in a dark place. Are y'all still with me? Amen, amen, amen. See, I've said often here that there are two forces and there are two voices. Okay? There is the voice of encouragement. And there is the voice of discouragement. Y'all still with me? There is the voice that tries to encourage you, wants you to have peace, wants you to have joy, wants you to have a great time, wants you to move forward. But then there's the voice of discouragement that wants to steal your joy, wants to steal your peace, wants you to, instead of move forward, wants you to go backwards. Are y'all still with me? And we know that the voice of encouragement is Jesus, and the voice of discouragement is Satan, because Satan knows that if he can get to your mind, if he can get to my mind and control my mind, he knows that we will end up in a dark place. Are you all still with me? And see, I believe that Satan has two ways to attack Christians. I believe that he has a method for the weak Christians and a different method for the strong Christians. And we're going to talk about that a little shortly, but I'm not going to get to that right now. Are y'all still with me this morning? So Paul is saying, listen, yes, you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Yes, you've been born again. Yes, you've been washed by the blood. He said, but there are agents out there. And they were already out there at that time. He said, and they are to get you to forget what you've achieved through Jesus Christ. They would try to get you to forget who you are in Christ Jesus. They would try to get you to doubt who God is, doubt who what his word says he is, and eventually will cause you to doubt yourself, and you will end up in a dark place. Isn't that sneaky? Well, let's say this is his nickname. Are y'all still with me? People start thinking so much about what was said in their ears. You know, people will say intellect. Well, God is really not real. There is no heaven. You mean to tell me that Jesus died and went to hell for your sins? Christians, the ones who say that they believe in the word, the ones who say they spend time studying,
Well, I don't really know if it was God or not, but just in case it is, I'm going to get in the Word. No, that's doubt. We have to know without a shadow of a doubt that God is who He say He is. You may be going through a situation. Your situation is not going to get any better. Your husband's not going to change. Your wife's not going to change. You've been putting up. If I was you, I would leave them. Don't bring all your tithe to the storehouse. Just give them a little bit. Don't get a pastor your money. No, don't do that. You're not good enough for that. Those are negative sayings. And people will start thinking, well, maybe I'm not good enough. But what did the Word say? What did the Word say? What did the Word say about you? What did the Word say about Jesus? But if we're not careful, those agents who we sometimes look up to based on their worldly status, we will start believing them and doubting the Word. And what happens is that we believe them. Satan has accomplished exactly what he was trying to accomplish in the first place. Well, Pastor, what was he trying to accomplish? He was trying to get us to hide our minds from the Word of God. In other words, when I was studying, I remember what the Word said about me. I remember what the Word said I can have. I remember the Word said I can do all things through Christ. But after a while, instead of me focusing on what the Word says, I start focusing on those negative words. In other words, what he has done, he has blinded my mind. Yeah, that's how he operates. Are y'all still with me? See, it may not be for a long period of time. When we talk about Satan blinding the mind, you know, people think, well, my mind, we're talking about for a year. When we're talking about those negative seeds that affects us, we say, well, we're talking about for a long period of time. But how many of you know, I'm not talking about a long period of time. I'm talking about it could be a short amount of time. That's all it takes. Well, Pastor, why do you say that? Because how many of you know that Satan only needs an inch just to get in there? See, someone may speak something to your ears, and it may affect you badly. Not for a long period of time, for a short period of time. But in this short period of time, Satan will try to force his way into your mind to turn it into a long period of time. I'll give you a good example. I guarantee you that if there was a flood outside, as big as this building is, if there's a flood outside, if there was a little pinhole in that brick wall, that water will get in here. And if the deacons do not, see, if I say if I do not, Deacon Dave might get upset with me. If the deacons do not, if I do not patch up that hole and let it continue to be a little hole, guess what? Eventually, this place is going to be flooded. Are y'all still with me? And that's exactly what Satan is trying to do. He is trying to flood your mind with negativity because he knows if he can do that, he will keep you in a state of darkness in every area of your life. Are y'all still with me? Once again, when that happens, at that point in time, what I have done is allowed Satan to blind my mind in that situation, because the Bible says, if the gospel be hid, it is hid to those who are lost, who the God, small g, of this world has blinded the mind, unless the glorious light of the gospel of Christ shall shine on them. Are y'all still with me? In other words, I need to get myself out of this situation on me. Because if I had not listened to that mess in the first place, to let it put me in a state of oppression, depression, a place of darkness, then I wouldn't even be there. Are y'all still with me? See, we must understand this about people. I told you earlier that Satan will use agents. And how many of you know you don't even have to qualify? He will use anyone who wants to be used. Y'all still with me? And we have to understand that not everyone have your best interest in heart. See, I like how Paul started off the series of scripture. He said here about jealousy in the Lord. But he wasn't talking about bad jealousy, okay? But there are a lot of people who operate in bad jealousy. They watch you. They see God blessing you. They see you being blessed in the city. They see you being blessed in the field. They see you being blessed when you go out. They see you being blessed when you come back in. Every time they see you, they see a big B on your forehead that says blessed. They watch us. People watch us all the time. And what Satan will do, he will use and that's why God doesn't want us operating in jealousy, because when we operate in jealousy, that's the kind of people Satan uses. See, Satan uses our weaknesses against us. And when he sees a jealous person, he will send that jealous person to you to try to get you off course, to try to get control of your mind, to take your mind off of God and focus your mind on this situation, to put you in a dark place. See, everyone don't have our best, you know. And listen, it don't matter how they look. It doesn't matter how they are, how short they are, how big they are, how small they are. It doesn't matter what color they are, what color their eyes are, how long their hair, how short their hair, whether they're bald-headed. It does not matter. Satan will use anyone who he can use. But how many of you know, if we spend time in God's word, we would automatically identify the culprit, regardless of what kind of clothes they're wearing. Are y'all still with me this morning? That's why it's important to stay in the word. That's why it's important to stay in prayer. That's why it's important to keep God first in everything. People say, oh, just as an example, Pastor Ron, you know, y'all doing great. Y'all been here for 11 years. You know, it's easy. It's easy for someone to, oh, yeah, we did it. You know, hair just getting bigger. Pinocchio's nose, right? But how many of you know that? No. We would never fall into that trap, because we realize we've been here 11 years only by the grace of God. See, it's easy. See, Satan's not going to come to you with something bad all the time. He's going to make it seem like it's good, although it is bad. What he's trying to do is to get us to lift ourselves up instead of lifting up God. But how many of you know, once again, if we spend time in the Word, we will be able to identify the culprit before they lead us to that dark place. Pastor, how do you know that? Because Jesus said it. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen, amen, amen. Matthew chapter 7. When you get there, say amen. Everybody's not for you, although they may look like it. They may talk like it. They may even walk like it. They may even sing like it. They may even dance like it. They may even do good things like it. But everyone does not have your best interest in heart. That's why we need to trust the word. Not just sometimes, but all times. Not just in one way, but always. Are you in Matthew chapter 7 yet? Look what Jesus said in verse number 13. I don't know about you, but when Jesus speaks, I listen. He says, enter you at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. You know what? When you look at this series of scripture, even if the second part of it is not there, where he says, if he just said, enter you in at the straight gate, you shouldn't even worry about any other kind of gate. Because if you enter in the straight gate or the narrow gate, you know that The other gates is not going to affect you. Why? Because you entered into the one that Jesus told you to enter in. Are y'all still with me? But he went on to explain to us why it's important, because Christians all, I mean, people always want to, well, why I got to do it? Why? So he went on to explain to us why take the narrow gate. Look at what he said here. He says, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in there. In other words, how many of you know that wide road, that wide gate? Everybody uses it. The backbiters, the hypocrites, the ones who try to pull you down. Everybody uses the wide gate. You don't know who's who. You know, it reminds me of hotels. You know, a lot of times people, you know, maybe not none of you all, because I know you all are rich, amen. But a lot of times when people want a hotel, they want the cheapest thing on the block. How many of you know everybody else wants the cheapest? Some other people want the cheapest thing too. And you go in there and you find all kinds of people up in there. Drug dealers, you find sex traffickers, you find everybody in there. Why? Because everybody used that. Because they ain't got to give and pay no money. Listen, if you want to go to a hotel where you know you're going to be safe, you need to be able to spend some money, because everybody don't want to spend that money. I call it the narrow gate. See, everybody's not going to be there. But you go to a cheap hotel and you complain about the hotel. No, the hotel should be complaining about you for being there when Jesus is Lord, and you should have to go to that place. Why? Because the Bible says, once again, you can be the lender, not the borrower. Amen. Y'all still with me? So Jesus said, listen, everybody uses the wide. You don't want to go that way, because when you go that way, there might be some people that smile in your face, but they always try to take your place. So y'all thinking about the, y'all just say amen, amen, amen. Come on, man, there's three of us. Come on, y'all, let's go, amen. you don't want to go that way. But look at what he says here. He said, because straight is the way, the gate, verse 14, and narrow is the way, which leads to what? Life. Listen, not just any old kind of life, but abundant life. And few there be that find. And then he says, here we go, verse 15. Beware of who? Notice what stood out to me in a series of scripture. Notice that word prophets is not capitalized. See, he's not talking about the fivefold ministry there. See, people read that, beware of false prophets. The first thing they think about is church and the prophet in the church. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a person who is false, who is jealous of you, who Satan is using as an agent to try to get you in a dark place by affecting your mind. He said, beware. Like I say, the man told me when I was a young kid, he said, everything that shines is not gold. Y'all still with me? He says, beware of the false prophets which come to you in what? I told you, can't base it on what they wear. Can't base it on what they wear. Can't base it on what they wear. It's really amazing to me as Christians, you know, even when I was growing up, you always think people holy just because they carry a Bible. And come in with, you know, listen. You never even had a conversation with the person. Well, that's a man of God right there. Never even spoke to him. Or a woman of God, but people just go by how they look. Are y'all still with me? Beware. Here we go. This is Jesus talking. He says, beware, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You know, I like the way the Bible used animals, because sometimes when people read the scriptures, they're ravening wolves. They just read right over it. But how many of you know, just like we need to know what, you know, like Satan comes as a, what, roaring lion? I told you, you need to know something about a lion. How many of you know ravening wolves? You need to know something about a ravening wolf. How many of you know that word ravening means that he is very ferociously hungry. He's so hungry he's dripping at the mouth. Are y'all still with me? He didn't say a wolf, he said a ravening wolf. He's hungry. He's ready to eat up any Christian in sight. Are y'all still with me? See, that's one thing about Satan. Satan is not prejudiced. He doesn't care whether you've been saved one day or a million years. And no one is off limits. Sometimes, you know, Christians, we think because we've been saved a long time, well, we good. But I'm going to tell you what Satan do to us later on. The ones of us that think we have it made. Are y'all still with me? Look at what he said here. Well, amen. I got to go back because Satan's trying to turn my pages here. Look at what he says. He says, you shall, verse 16, you, look what he said. He said, he didn't say some people. He said, you. Make it personal. He said, you shall know them by their what? Not by how they look, not by how they walk, not by how they talk, not by whether they're tall, dark, or handsome. You shall know them by their fruit. He didn't say you might know them. He said, you shall know them. Well, how do you know them? By standing in God's word. He said, you shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns? Grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree, a corrupt person, bringeth forth corrupt fruit. They might bring you a good-looking, shiny apple on Monday, but eventually they're going to bring you a rotten apple. Are y'all still with me? He says, every tree that bringeth forth, verse number 18. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, nor can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their what? Fruits, you shall do what? Know them. In other words, if I do not know them, because I believe that Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I believe the word of God is true. If I do not know them, well, then there's a problem. Not with the word, but with me. That tells me I'm not spending enough time in the word, I'm not getting enough of the word, and I'm not spending enough time communicating with God. And that's what happens to people a lot of times. They trust man, put too much trust in people, and that person will put on a front or be phony for a long time. And as soon as you think, all right, they all right, here we go. Boom, here comes the negative seed, and they put you in a state of bondage. Are y'all still with me? That's how it works, see. That's how it works. Well, what are we going to do about it? Pastor, you've stood up there for 20 minutes and you told me about how Satan would try to get control of my mind and how he would use his agents. So what do I do about that? Well, how many of you know that's one thing I like about the word? The word of God tells us what's going to happen and it tells us what we need to do about what's going to happen. I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26. You got to be careful. Paul warned them. He said, hey, I told you about Jesus. You're victorious. You've achieved this through Christ. You have the victory. You're more than conquerors. You can do all things. He said, but the false apostles are coming. And they will try to get you to distract it, to doubt God by giving you false doctrine. And Christians, listen to this. This is my definition of false doctrine. This is Ron chapter 8, verse 82. It's not in the word. This is me. False doctrine is any words spoken to you in a negative way. Or, let me say it this way, any word that does not line up with the word of God is false doctrine. And Satan will use smart people. Because he knows you're not going to listen to the rookie. Are y'all still with me? Amen, amen, amen. Are you at Isaiah 26? How to present it? I must prevent Satan from controlling my mind, because if I do not, it doesn't matter how long I've been saved. It does not matter. It does not matter. I will end up in a dark place. That's just the way it is. Because that's what he wants to do, is take you back to a dark place, because he knows that Jesus delivered you from a dark place. He delivered me from a dark place, because how many of you know the word of God is for me also? Are you at Isaiah chapter 26? Amen. I'm all the way over here, 55. Isaiah 26. I don't know about you, but I'm just excited. Like Elder Bondron said when he preached, I like when he said, I don't know about you. I like when he said that. He said, I don't know about you. Amen. Look at chapter 26, verse number 1. Isaiah, he is talking to the children of Israel. He said, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. You remember they had gone into exile for being rebellious, disobedient to the word. He says, open ye the gates, verse 2, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. He says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. And then he says, trust you in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting what? Strength. So how do I not allow Satan to get control of my mind? Keep your mind on Christ. Keep your mind on the word. Because the Bible tells us that when we keep our mind on Jesus, when we keep our mind on God, we will have not just any old kind of peace, but perfect peace. And we have perfect peace because we trust in God. Regardless of what was said to me in my ears, that got to my mind, whatever it is, you will know that you trust in God, and God's word is stronger than any negative word that anyone could speak in your ears. God's word is stronger, because that's where our strength comes from. I must always focus back on who I am in Christ Jesus. Because like I said earlier, once again, when these negative words come, what Satan is trying to do is to get you to forget what you achieved, not going to achieve, but what you have already achieved, what I have already achieved by accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. We can't forget that. We cannot forget that Jesus Christ has already given us the victory. We can't forget that. We can't forget that we are more than conquerors. We cannot forget that. We cannot forget that we don't have to fight our battles. The Bible says the battle is not ours, but the Lord's. We can't forget that. We cannot forget that the only time God tells us to fight is fight the what? Good fight of faith. And the reason he calls it a good fight, because you win if you fight it. I mean, I've never seen, since it's getting close to football season, I've never seen this certain fans for this certain team with the big old C. When their team lose, they say, oh, that was a good game. They always blame the referees. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Amen. Always blame the referees. They never tell you it was a good game unless their team win. Well, how many of you know if we fight the good fight of faith, we always win? That's why it's called good. But see, words, negative words, seeds that are planted in your ears that go to your mind will cause you to forget about that, and we will focus on what somebody's saying about us. We will focus on, well, they said I can't do it. Man, you can't forget them. You can't worry about this stuff. Because Satan is trying to get you in a dark place. Because he knows if you're in a dark place,
you can't see spiritually. Are you all still with me? See, when I focus, keep my mind on God, I know his word is true, and I know that his word is stronger than any negative word that I would ever hear about myself or about anyone else. Perfect peace. Well, guess what? The only way to keep my mind on God is I must keep my mind on the word. What? Wait a minute. The only way I can keep my mind on the word is that I must spend some time in the word. Not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, but every day. Because when I keep my mind on the word, I am keeping my mind on God. I am strengthening myself spiritually. Spiritually. And when I am strengthening myself spiritually, I am lining myself up, not just on one day, but daily, to be led by the Spirit instead of being led by my mind. See, Satan wants to be led by the mind because he knows that there's a possibility that he can control the mind by negative seeds. But if I'm in the Word of God, if I'm being fed the Word of God, if I show up in the place where the Word of God is being taught, then he knows that I will grow spiritually. Listen, how many of you know? Listen to this. You might not believe this, but don't you know? I mean, a lot of times when people come into the church, this is Romans chapter 9, verse 99. Don't you know that you grow spiritually sometimes by accident? I mean, I guarantee you that a lot of people that come into a church, they don't say, well, I'm going in here so I can grow spiritually. No, you grow by accident. When you come in, you sit there, and that word is being taught, and you're receiving that word. How many of you growing spiritually right there? You don't even realize. That's why Satan tried to keep us from the word. That's why he put all these negative thoughts in people's mind to get them to not focus on the word. Because he knows if we do not grow, then that's more chance for him to control the mind. But if we're growing spiritually, yeah, we know we're hearing all these little things like, well, whatever, God, Jesus, still Lord. Yeah, you might think about them, but you don't want to think about them to the point where they start to control you and consume you. We can't do that. That's why we must keep our mind on God. We must keep our mind on the Word. Why? Listen, because the Word of God tells us about God. The Word of God tells us about Jesus. The Word of God tells us about the Holy Spirit. And don't you know, as a child of God, the Word of God even tells you about you. The Word of God tells you about you. I mean, if you want to know about yourself as a Christian, you know, let's say, for instance, you apply for this job, and it's a job that, I mean, you know you don't have the skills for that job. But you want that job. So what do? You start studying for it. I applied for a job once. And it was in the, you know, I was a logistician. My wife liked to say supply, but logistician. Amen. And the job was in the field of a logistician, but I had never done a job before. So what I did was got on the site, and I read the requirements for the job. You know, I studied. I said, okay, I need to know how to do this. Yeah, you know. So I started preparing myself for the questions for the job because I read what the job required, you know. So I started preparing myself, you know. So when I got the interview, because when I first saw the job, I had no clue what they were asking for. But I started studying for the job, and then when I had the interview, they started asking me questions. I was like, oh, yes, blah, 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 blah. Oh, yes, so. I still didn't know all I was going to do when I got there, but how many of you know I knew enough to get the job? And listen, the rest of it, once I got it, then I'll learn the rest of it. How many of you know, as a child of God, when you accepted Jesus Christ, you didn't know everything the first day? But once you accepted him, then you start coming to get the word, and now you're growing more and more spiritually, and sometimes you don't even realize it, it's by accident. And one day you look and you realize, wow, I've grown a lot since then. That's why Satan tried to separate us from the word. See,
Y'all still with me? He tried to separate us from the word to cause us not to know about ourselves. And as I've already said, if you want to know about yourself as a Christian, what you have through Jesus, what you have already achieved, and what God has planned for you, we have to spend time in the word. And then when we start hearing these negative words by these agents of Satan or Satan himself, they won't even affect us. Why? Because we know already that the word says we can do all things through Christ. And we know that the word of God cannot lie. Are y'all still with me? If you really want to know about you, get into the word. Get your mind on Christ. See? Because I mentioned already, Satan is clever. He's sneaky. He's cunning. The Bible says he was the most subtle beast of the field that God has made. And as I said earlier, I think he has two ways to attack Christians. I think he attacked the weaker Christians in a different way than he attacked the stronger Christians. You know, we looked, I think it was last week, maybe the week before, I don't know. You know, I teach so much, I don't know one week from the other. But we talked about the roaring lion who's seeking whom he may devour. And we found out that the lion always looked for the weakest prey. You all remember that? Well, Satan looked for any prey. And he had a technique. See, the weak people, he can do anything to attack them. He can use little things or the big things to get them in bondage, to get them in a state of darkness. But the strong Christians, the ones who spend time in the Word, we would think that Satan would use the big things against us. How many of you know he used the little things? The little things. And the reason why he used the little things is because of his craftiness. He knows that seasoned Christians, I would say, a lot of us think we already know everything when it comes to Satan and his attacks. He knows that. I told you he may be dumb, but he's not stupid. The reason why I say he's dumb is because if they had known that Jesus Christ was going to be resurrected, they would have tried to keep Jesus alive. Although he came to give his life for us. The reason why I say he's not stupid is because he plays on our weaknesses. And most of the time, we tell him what our weaknesses are when we open up our mouth. Are y'all still with me? This spiritual warfare is real. And once again, for us strong Christians who think we're strong, he used the little things. See, he's not going to tell us to go kill anybody because he knows we're not going to do it. He's not going to tell us to go steal something from Walmart because, you know, most of us are probably not going to do it. But he used the little things, the little simple things. You know, I know you've been praying for that rascal, but you're wasting your time. And you don't think nothing about it because everything's going great. But if we do not dismiss that word out of our mind, we're going to start thinking about it. I know it was a reason why they gave me a bundle of roses. They're trying to trick me. You know, they let me borrow $100. They're trying to trick me. They want me to pay back interest. I know that's exactly what's going on. Little things. See. The little things against us. They said this, I don't know who they think they were talking to. Then we depressed for a whole week. We didn't kill anybody. We didn't steal $1 million. But he still got to the mine with the little things. You know, Minister Denise mentioned it earlier. The Bible tells us it's the small foxes that spoil the vine. The little things. The things we look over. You know, little things. Well, you know, I said in my Bible Monday through Thursday, I'm not going to touch it on Friday. Why not? We need as much of the word as we can get. Well, it's a little thing to miss one day. No, it's not. We think it's a little thing, but that little thing can affect us. Because God might have wanted to speak to us on the day that we didn't want to get into his word. And we might have missed out on what he wanted to say to us. That little thing. It's the little stuff. Satan's not going to use the big stuff on people who've been around a while. He's going to use the little things. Because he knows if he uses the big things, we're not going to fall for it. Like I said, we Christians, he uses whatever he wants. He's in the principalities. But against the big, the mature Christians, he'll send the rulers of the darkness of this world. The spiritual wickedness in high places. He's sending all the big boys. The weak Christians, he's sending anybody. The mature Christians, he's sending. Because he knows that we think we're too big for that. There's no way he said he can get me. And we don't even think that it's him. Because of our spiritual mindset. Which is actually is a natural mindset, because what we're doing, we're thinking more of ourselves more highly than we ought to. Y'all still with me? But the Bible says in Solomon chapter 2, verse 15, I'm not going to go there for the sake of time, he says that it's the small foxes that spoil the vine. Now, once again, the Bible uses animals. I mean, the fox is an animal, right? So what that tells me is that if the Bible tells me that it's the small foxes that spoil the vine, that means I need to know something about what? I need to know something about a fox. See, I can't read over these animals in the Bible and it's just there just because they need to put a word there. They just put fox. No. Words mean something. If you know anything about a fox is sneaky. When I was a kid, I used to hear the word, slick fox. I didn't know anything about foxes then. I thought they were just saying he was slick because, you know, just a word we used to use, people just call you slick. Foxes are crafty, cunning. Who else, who would that remind you of? Are y'all still with me this morning? Sneaky. A small fox, listen to this. A small fox can go in places where a big fox can't go. Because he's small. See, people will expect the big fox. But the small fox, just like a little kid, they'll be like, oh, you little kid. No, a fox is not a kitten. A fox is a fox. And that little old fox, before he eat the grapes, he would tear the vineyard up. Because a little fox causes a lot of beware the fox. A lot of damage. The small fox. See. And when we allow the small fox to cause damage, all of a sudden we're in a state of turmoil. Why? Because we did not know that the little fox had that much power. But how many of you know that fox was dispatched from Satan himself? And his mode of operation is to steal, kill, and destroy by any means necessary. Are y'all still with me? Well, what do we do about it? Once again, I have to keep my mind on Christ. I have to keep my mind on Jesus. I have to be aware that the small thing can affect me just like the big things can. Why? Because Satan is clever. Are y'all still with me? The stronger the Christian, he used different techniques. You don't use the same technique. He uses a different one because he knows that the strong Christians already think that they are spiritual. We're already there. I've been saved 55 years. Sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. How many of those Satan don't care? He's still going to attack you. He's still going to attack you. Are y'all still with me? But when I stay in the Word of God, When I stay in prayer, when I keep my mind on God, I will find out that it does not matter how Satan tries to attack or what he uses to put negative seeds in my ear, or even if he speaks them himself, I will always remind myself that God is on my side, and he has never and will never lose a battle. And as long as I stay in King Jesus, as long as I stay in Christ, I will never lose. Although this little thing has irritated my ears and I've thought about it, I would not put so much thought to it that it will consume me. Why? Because I know that I'm going to come out victorious anyway. Why? Because God is on my side. Not just on one day, but, well, Pastor, does the Bible say God is on my side? All over the place. I never read it. Christians, always have Christians. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. I'm almost done. I have 4 minutes and 31 seconds. Romans 8. God is on your side. Don't worry about what's said to you or what's said. Keep your mind on God. Keep your mind on the Word. Stay in prayer. Why? Because if you do that, we will realize that God's Word is more powerful than any negative word that could be spoken to us, and we will always win. Why? Because God is on our side. Are you at Romans chapter 8 yet? I believe verse 28, if I'm not mistaken, I believe that's Jada's favorite scripture. I believe it. I believe I remember her saying this. I believe. You know, if it's not Jada, just shake your head for But I do believe this. Amen. Listen what the Bible says here. It says in verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his what? Purpose. And look at what else the Bible says here. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30 says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. And then the Bible says in verse 31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be what? For us, who can be what? Against us. So listen, verse 31 tells me that God is on my side. Verse 28 through 30 tells me why God is on my side, because God conformed me to created me to conform to the image of his dear son. I believe that tells me that God's on my side. He is on my side. In other words, God wants me to win. He wants me to be an overcomer. He wants me to be victorious. He wants me to be able to overcome any false voice that has spoken into my ears that's trying to take control of my mind. He wants me to win in every area. He does not want me to believe everything I hear. The Bible talks about in Ephesians chapter 4, I won't go there for the sake of time, that we can't be tossed from every doctrine, every wind of doctrine. We need to stick to what the Word of God says. Regardless of what people say or what they say, we need to speak to what the Word says. Are y'all still with me? And when we speak, or stick to what the Word says, we will never fall, we will never find ourselves in darkness, we will always face the light. Why? Because when we focus on the Word, Jesus said here that as long as he is in the world, he is the light of the world. And when I focus on Jesus, although I may find myself in a dark place sometime because of what somebody said in my ears, I need to turn around and focus on Jesus, because Jesus is the light of the world. Listen to this. And when light comes, darkness always have to go, because light and darkness cannot stay in the same place. Are y'all still with me? I used to do this years ago. Keith, if you can help me out, can you do me a favor? Turn those lights off back there for me very quickly. Don't y'all get scared. They're not going to be off for just a short period of time. That's the thing. Turn the lights, all the lights off. Okay, forget about these lights. If these lights was off, what would you see? Turn the lights back on. What do you see now? Why? Because darkness had to go. Because darkness can't hang with light. See? So once again, Satan wants to get you in a dark place. But what we need to do when we find ourselves in the dark place, we need to look unto Jesus. Because the Bible says he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Uh-oh, that means the faith takes place. I have to put my faith into operation. Y'all still with me? I want you to stand to your feet. Because see, Christmas, once again, we are at an 11-year anniversary. And how many of you know that 11 years is a mighty long time? And how many of you know that there have been many times for us to fall? How many of you know that a lot of people who were here 11 years ago are not here anymore because people move on? How many of you know that if we had put our faith in people, we would not be here right now? But when you put your faith in Jesus, when you put your faith in God, you will always come out victorious. Because as I've already said, we are still standing, but by the grace of God. How many of you know you're still standing, but by the grace of God? Some of you have gone through situations in your life. You have heard negative things. People have spoken negative things over you, but you're still standing. But how many of you know that Satan does not quit? He's going to continue to come. More and more and more. But as he continues to come, all you need to do is stay connected to the Word. Because listen to this. When you stay connected to the Word, distractions going on right now while I'm still talking. When you stay connected to the Word, you will always stay connected to the true vine. And in John 15, Jesus said that I am the true vine. And I'm closing with this statement. The Bible says that it's the little foxes that spoil the what? Vine. But how many of you know, as long as you're connected to the true vine, who is in Christ Jesus, the foxes can't spoil that. Because they can't spoil Jesus. Because he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's God, the only begotten Son of the Father. And he always wins. And as long as you stay connected to him, although you may hear chittle and chatter, you will always win. But when you disconnect from the Word, when you disconnect from Jesus, you will lose. Why? Because in the same series of scripture, the Bible says, without me, you can do nothing. But in Christ Jesus, you can do all things. And don't ever let anyone, Satan or anyone else, tell you that you can't. Why? Because your victory has already been won. If you're looking for a title for today's message that I have not given you yet, the title is called Follow Sound Doctrine. Follow Sound Doctrine, and you will find a sound doctrine in this word. Because all doctrine is not sound. Satan wants to trip you up. He wants to trip you up in this world, lead you to a dark corner, but as Jesus has already said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Amen. Somebody give God a hand praise because he's worthy.